Hello, this is Chris Parker with the Business Simplicity Podcast, and I have had a lovely conversation with Ihab Tak, the AI product manager from Destiny Engage. And we were talking about and I don't want to call it an event, but an activity that I facilitated with Karen, Agile Coach, over the last month, and it accumulated in a 3-day workshop for their whole company just outside of Cairo, where they're based. We talked about how to use mechanisms to say surface ideas and find ways for people, not only management, for everybody to come up with solutions and how to activate and enable them to move forward with it and really master their destiny. So, hey, Ihab, why would this be really valuable for people to listen to?
Okay, if you want to rediscover yourself, if you want to find new ways, brilliant ways to solve problems and get things done, you should listen to this episode, Brilliant One with Chris.
The Business Simplicity Podcast, where leaders share their most successful strategies and the failures that inspired them, so business owners and managers can avoid the suffering and reap the benefits. With your host, Chris Parker.
And welcome back to the Business Simplicity Podcast. This is Chris Parker, and I'm having a conversation with Ihab Tag, who is working with Destiny Engage. In there at DSTNYengage.com, and he is the AI product manager. And there's another podcast called Engage, sponsored by Destiny, where Ihab and I, with another gentleman, Matisse Andre, talk about AI and some really fascinating topics on that. So I will include the link to the Engage podcast in the show notes, so you can also learn more about maybe really the content of Ihab's work in that. Because on this conversation, we're going to walk through the story of a series of activities that the company Engage went through. And Ihab has been kind enough to join the conversation and share his view on that story. So, but before we jump into that, Ihab, you have an amazing backstory where you weren't originally educated in AI, and that probably isn't what you originally anticipated when you were entering your career. So, yeah, can you just share a little bit about your story on how you got to being an AI product manager with Destiny Engage?
Yes, sure. First of all, thank you, Chris, for this great opportunity, the second opportunity to have a podcast episode with you after the previous one you mentioned. It was really a lot of fun back then, and I expect a lot of fun today as well. So back to your question, I am originally educated to be a medical doctor. I have spent 6 years of my life studying medicine and about another 6 years working as a medical doctor, providing primary and emergency health care in different fields in the government and in the oil and gas field. And during my work in the oil and gas, I have a lot of this free time to study. And to be honest, a lot of doctors take this opportunity to study medicine to advance their degree and get their specialty, but I was always having this special interest in computer science and the impact that the computer scientists and engineers have on the world. So instead of studying medicine to advance my degree, I began to study computer science the way that computer scientists do, from the basics to the specialties. And then I started to self-teach the magic of AI, beginning with the basics as well, from the data analysis perspective, then marching towards the data science, and finally building models by my hands, like coding the algorithms. And I have already used these models I built to do stocks trading. I relied on my own model to trade actual stocks to have this risk of gaining profit or losing actual money.
And
so that's where
how did it perform?
At the beginning, it was performing very bad. I lost a lot of money. But tuning and reviewing my algorithm and trying to overcome my own personal instinct to disobey the model. This is the real thing about, stocks trading is a discipline, because the model tells you this stock will make you profit and you can't believe it. So you are afraid of making the trade. You are become like, no, I can make more money. So it performed poorly at the beginning. Then it improved gradually till I'm making now profits from these models. Yeah.
That's fascinating, to ignore your instincts and to trust the model. So I'm curious, you have, I'm shifting now to the story of a program which we called Master Your Destiny. I'm curious, as we share this story, if you had to ignore your instincts at any point in time with the feeling that maybe we should be doing something else or in a different order. Because the way we set up this program was perhaps a bit counterintuitive. But what I'm curious to start the story, if we go back 6 weeks or 2 months ago, and Tactful, the company, Tactful AI, was being reborn as Destiny Gage. And it was during that process that Mohammed Al-Masri, your CEO, general manager, approached me with the idea, like, hey, we really need to do some sort of lessons learned. We need to dive into the root cause of some of these issues so we don't allow this current style and of behavior and emotion to become the status quo. But that was a crazy time. Can you describe a little bit what was happening 2 months ago in Tactful as it was approaching its relaunch and rebirth and redefinition? I'm just curious, what was happening in the team at that moment?
Yeah, this is a hard time to remember, I can recall. Mm. But you know, the story began a little behind this, you know? Not 2 months ago, it's maybe 1 year ago, like when the acquisition happened and this huge seismic shift in the objectives of the company and the direction, the strategic direction, and the moving parts inside the company started to move to align on the new objectives that weren't not clear enough back then. And we all of us as teams, from the top management to the frontliners, we were struggling to figure it out. How can we move there? Which direction should we take? Which destination should we focus on? And maybe 2 months ago, some of the objectives, the strategic direction, were crystallized enough, but we couldn't figure out how to get from the current status to the desired status. And to be honest, regarding this, my destiny, mastering my destiny workshops and initiative, I was skeptical at first, because, you know, for me as an individual, I'm a control freak, and I'm believing that the change management should be propagated top down. You know, the people on the top are the most capable, who are the experts, who know what should be done to reach what, and they should enforce this. No one is allowed during these hard times. Like, you are in a battlefield, you should obey orders. You can take the input from all, but you should decide and you should enforce your direction as a top manager, and everyone should obey. This was me 2 months ago. And when the initiative of Master Your Destiny was kicked off, I was skeptical when I know the objectives of it. What the hell? How can we manage these people around 80 people to get their input and to curate a change management process through them, not on them. But during the past 2 months, it was a transformational experience, mastering my destiny, transformational, and it managed to change a lot of my beliefs and my thoughts.
And this is why I was so interested to talk to you on this topic with you, because Karen DeBoek, who's the agile coach from Destiny that was helping me with this as well, we crafted this together, and also with El Mastery, of course. Your vocalism, your ability to share your thoughts very openly is really appreciated. And the it seemed like that, yeah, you definitely started more skeptical and then seemed to be more positive towards the end of, well, I think you're always positive, but you were more, your shift had changed. There was three stages or phases of the Master Your Destiny. And the first one was roses, buds, and thorns. I'm curious, can you share what happened in sort of chapter one of the story of Master Your Destiny that we talked about, roses, buds, and thorns? What did you experience as a participant?
To be honest, I thought of it like you are sitting on top of a bomb. Like it will
bomb.
It will going to explode, because I believe that every team member have his own thoughts, roses, buds, and thorns, especially thorns that he'd like to share. But the kickoff of this journey was pretty informative. You have paved the way for all the team members to put their, you know, this exercise about the rear view mirror. You need to look back to what you have done, and to be able to learn lessons from it and to adjust your way accordingly. The nature of team building, the forming, storming, norming, and performing model. You need to extract lessons from this rear view to be able to build the team the right way to achieve their objectives. So I was like surprised by the results of this exercise, roses, buds, and thorns, and how people genuinely shared their issues. What are the things that went good and what are the things that went bad, and what are their thoughts about how can we improve this? And on the individual level, as a product manager inside Destiny Engage, I learned a lot that helped me to put a plan for myself, to adjust the way I collaborate with others, the way I put objectives, the communication style, and how can I help others as well to evolve and improve themselves and their work.
Yeah, what we the intent was to discover what are the issues and problems, but we also didn't want to only focus on that. So the using the method of roses, buds, and thorns. So roses are things that are nice smelling or beautiful in the organization. Keep those going. What are the buds, the little things that are potential roses? And then there's thorns. There are things that were really irritating. And we didn't only ask that, but we also asked people what emotion they had with that. And some of people were quite vulnerably honest and even said that they had a feeling of rage. And we were also asking why. And for me, if someone said, simply wrote, okay, well, this is a problem, but then you didn't know that there was actually an emotion of rage behind it. And if you weren't able to discover a little bit of why, it stays very abstract. And I thought it was amazing how rapidly the Destiny Engage people jumped on that. We had a kickoff meeting and then we sent out a survey. So it was really quite distant, cold even. But people really opened up, and we had a nice mix across roses, buds, and thorns, and also a lot of consistency that, we were discovering that a lot of people had very similar similar issues. So, maybe at the end of the story, I'll tell why we crafted it in this order as well. The second chapter of the story, we had, because after the roses, buds, and thorns, then you all went on your Eid holiday. And we really wanted the people to get their frustrations out before the holiday. That was really important to us. So then people are like, okay, it's out of me. You know, we just redesigned the whole company. Everything has changed so much. Hopefully there's okay. People are paying attention to our needs. And then they could go on holiday. And when they came back from holiday, we did chapter two, which was really around what, so what, and now what. And we also had a couple inspirational speakers. So we had three different moments where we had some experts or people who have been in this kind of scaling situation before. I'm curious, how did you experience? You know, can you explain a little bit what, so what, now what, and what you experienced with the inspirational speakers? How did you experience that?
Yeah, sure. Because you know, back then when we have the three inspirational sessions, I was like someone inside a movie. He is moving in the story and he doesn't know about the other events that are happening. I couldn't see back then the bigger picture. I don't have this bird's eye view. How these inspirational sessions are fitting in the entire journey. But now, when I have this recall of the sequence of the events, I could relate that the Roses, Buds, and Thorns exercise, it helped us to put our fingers and our hands on the problems. But we couldn't, we don't have a clue how to solve these problems. So we needed this inspirational sessions. And the selection of the mentors, the presenters in the three sessions, these three sessions were brilliant, actually. They have similar circumstances, scaling challenges, and the functions of each of them. You have an organizational coach, you have this team topologies, you have this engineering point of view from a well-experienced CTO that covered and tackled all the challenges that were mentioned in the Roses, Buds, and Thorns. And the way those brilliant mentors conducted the sessions, interactive sessions, it really helped me on my personal level to have like a lot of ideas. Yes, we have these problems that I knew about, and we have these problems that I didn't know they exist, but what can we do with them? Yeah, they gave us clear inspirations. I can recall from the session we had Remy Armand, that the JDR model, on my personal level, this JDR model was something new for me. I didn't know about it before, and it tackled my, you know, I'm eager to know. So I researched it. How can I utilize it? How can I use it to develop myself and develop my team and help them as well? A lot of inspiration there, and it paved the way again for the next step. The now what and the analysis of these problems, and helped us to get ideas to prepare for the actual heavy lift that was conducted on the physical event.
Yeah, your Remy Armand is great, and he's been kind enough to agree to come on the podcast as well. So we'll dive in more of that. JDR is the Job Demand Resource Model. Why was that really helpful to you? Like, what did you take away from the Job Demand Resource Model?
Okay, this is a good question. Thank you for that. It's all about balance. You know, as a product manager, I need to balance the benefits for the customers receives to fulfill their needs, and at the same time balance the benefits for the business, for all the stakeholders. I'm dealing with about 12 stakeholders on this. So you have to find the balance point. The JDR model makes this balance between the job demands, the factors that put this stress on the employee, for me as an individual, and the needed resources, the jobs resources that should be in place to make me capable of delivering, satisfying this job demands. To find this balance point is very hard, and to put it clear in a framework and to know what exactly I have as a strength points and what the challenges I'm facing and how to fix them. This is the brilliance of this model, and I like the way Remy have illustrated this and talk us through it. We are the people who mapped the demands and to the resources and the required resources, and that's why it helped us to figure out and put our hands on the actual root cause in the exercise.
Yeah, the job demand resource model is, and again, don't want to get too much into it because we can talk for hours about that, but it's that balance or harmony between, getting stuff done, just work versus how to enable the people, the humans, to cope with that effort. And for me, I think it's a great, because managers oftentimes come with one or the other preference. So it's either they're work only and they're not looking at the human side, or they're more only human side and they're not getting enough work done. So it's lovely. So, and now we went to into the week of amazing next is the
yeah.
The, Yeah, then we went into the resort. Can you share a little bit about what happened with that?
Yes, during this week. Okay, let me tell you that when we reached this point, I was still skeptical because we have paved the way, and we have all these preparations and we have clear view of the problems and how can we tackle these problems and figure out the solutions to them. But I didn't still have the answer of how can we make the 80 plus people figure out the root cause and put a solution for it together. How can we reach this? So during this exercise, I was surprised. I was shocked, actually not surprised, only by how the teams collaborated together and how you as an organizers of this journey managed to help this big team to put their hands on the actual problem, and how you grabbed from them the insights, the solutions, how you encouraged them, gave them these tools to say yes and say no, and gave their deep insights, make them talk. And I can recall this event when, this was awkward, actually strange, because in these type of events, the people become shy. You are trying to encourage them to talk and they don't like to share. But it happened. I can recall this small event when you're trying you're trying to put, that's enough. And the speaker was running from you and she wasn't,
That was,
it was nice to see,
Anne,
see this.
And Median, I think your last name is?
Anne Median, yes.
Wow, what just such an incredible passion. And indeed, she was not going to give back that microphone and she started running away. And I had to run after her. And then I was like, oh, this is weird. I can't chase this lady around the room. It's
exactly.
Yeah.
I want to share more. She was like, I want to share more. Let me speak. I have an important input here. And this was completely the opposite of the norm. Mm. People in events like this, like it's more like foreman. But I felt the rhythm, the thrill there.
Yeah, the first day there was 3 days of activities, in-person activities. The first two were with the whole company, and then the last day was with the extended management team. And the first day started with this djembe drum exercise that was arranged by the people team, which was amazing. And then we had some other exercises, activities, and then people were able to take a couple hours to go to the beach and the pool. And in the evening, we did the World Cafe, which is purposely unstructured, meaning we try to create a cafe feeling where people are sitting around tables, writing on the tops of, you know, on writing on the paper, tablecloth, and, you know, solving the world's problems. How was that for you? Like how, you know, it was still, we still weren't really getting to solutions yet. So day one wasn't supposed to answer the question of what are we going to do. Is what we were really looking to do is create more ideas, more inspiration, and see where things went, because at that point we would really have gotten to what people wanted to talk about. So how was the World Cafe for you?
I was dazzled by the experience of how people work together to find answers, to find out answers, and to find the solution, the questions, the most important questions. You know, before finding the answer, you need to define the questions. So during the experience in the World Cafe, we worked together to trying to find the most important questions to ask. What are the most important problems do we have? What are the most important things to do first? And then we took this to another level. Then we have these problems. How can we suggest solutions to them? What are the most proper ways to get from here to there? And you know, I have kept this this board, this whiteboard you're writing on from the World Cafe, and the orange stick as well. I have brought them with me here to remind me of this special event and special day, and the inputs from these teams, and the way this exercise was organized. It was brilliant how you can organize. Like we have three iterations on the same board from three different teams, and you have this coordinator on top of the board, and they are moving, getting 10 minutes. Yeah, it was a very inspiring experience on extracting and getting the information from all people. And you know, after this World Cafe, this was my Voila moment. All the skepticism, yeah. All the skepticism before then, yeah, it could happen. It could work when we have finished this exercise. I have a question for you here. Because the organization of the entire journey was very interesting to me. Did you figure out the planning for the entire journey from the beginning, or you have just made this high-level planning and you ran things to see what will come from them and adjust accordingly?
We had, for all 3 days, a very clear plan. And we needed to do that because we had to bring materials. We had to also we had to talk to Mastery about it as well, and he was beautiful in the journey, because like you, he was skeptical. He was feeling, let's solve the problems, let's, you know, management has to get active. And he was I thought amazing in his patience, just, you know, like no, let's better answers will come from the crowd, from the people of the company. And if it comes from the people, they'll be more inspired to solve their problems instead of waiting for management to solve their problems. So, and so certainly on day one and two, we kept to the planning pretty closely, almost exactly. Only one thing I can think of we dropped. And on day three, we had to blow it all up because of what happened. And so the management day, we had to just completely nuke it, because what we had in mind wasn't going to serve that team as much because of what evolved on day one and two, which is fine. But because we had it well planned, we also, when you have a good plan, you can ignore the plan. You know what I mean? So like, okay, we now know what we were going to do, and that's not going to work. And I think that was also and we use a tool called Session Lab, and that's something I learned from Karen. And so we actually have minute by minute everything, literally minute by minute, broken down, so that we can change it, so that we can adapt it, and we, you know, and if her, and if she and I, sort of as the custodians of the schedule, knew where we should be, we also knew where we had to speed up, slow down, adapt. Ooh, here's a nice conversation. Let's let that keep going because, oh, we can sacrifice over here. This conversation needs to happen. Give that more space and we can win space here. So we were giving little trade-offs the whole time. But for me, I can only do that if I have a plan to start with. And
part clear of objectives, I believe. A clear objective of this exercise. You have this sharp focus on your objectives, right? And you adapt the plan to fulfill these objectives. You are not like this rigid on the plan, even if there is a better way to achieve them. And this is what I love the most about your style of managing this this and coordinating, not managing, coordinating this exercise. Because I constantly, I saw the constant change and the adaptation. I didn't know the plan. But I can observe that there is a constant adaptation towards achieving the objectives. So I was eager to know.
What do you think the goals or the objectives were that we had in mind?
I can think of one single objectives. We need to guide these people to illuminate the way for them to have a way to work effectively and collaboratively together towards achieving their goal. I can think of this.
That's very close. That's very close. It was refined a bit more. Mm-hmm. What we wanted people to become aware of is the problems that they were experiencing were not exceptional, were not catastrophic, that this is part of growing a company, and in doing so, don't accept it as normal, meaning this is a step. We also wanted the people to know that the solutions were available, that you might not know the solutions, but nearby people have, and by nearby it could be your colleague in your company, has experienced something similar and they had solved it in the past. So, A, don't make the problems bigger than they need to be. And also don't make the solutions bigger than they need to be, you know, and keep it very practical. The third thing we wanted to do is to really inspire people to stop. Not that they were, because if one thing that the Destiny Engaged people have is enthusiasm, too much maybe, to get things done. But to not wait for others, meaning if there's something that can be improved in your working space, your working life, then master your destiny and own that and step up and just do it. You know, a lot of these things don't need permission because it's improvements and you can do that. So I think you really got the spirit of what we were doing, but we did have a few key levers that, you know, things that we really, really wanted to bring home.
So we can say it like this. You're saying like, hey, people of Destiny Engage, the situation you are in is not unique to you. I know that you are facing it for the first time, but the good news that a lot of people faced it before and the solutions are available and you should own the solution and should master your own destiny and start by yourself and see what you can do.
Yep.
Perfect.
And then that happened during the open space. The whole second day was, okay, there was a break for some swimming and stuff, but the whole second day was around the open space event where we had done Roses, Buds, and Thorns. So a lot of ideas and problems came up. We did this what, so what, now what, got some inspiration. So people were already starting to think forward. We did some team building and some, you know, the World Cafe. So people started to think of some really nice solutions. And then the open space was pretty much a day where everyone could work on solutions that they wanted to with people who wanted to work with him. So in essence, you know, there was a grid on the board based on the timing. There's 10 slots. If someone wanted to work on something, they could just fill out a sticky note, put it on there, make their presentation, and whoever else wanted to join could check in. And sometimes there were some duplicate topics. So saw teams merging and, you know, it's very organic. How did you experience all that? Meaning if you had that sort of aha moment the night before with the World Cafe, how did you carry that into the open space where our instruction for people was to, you know, create a solution with a plan, and if they needed budget or resource to ask for it so that they can take it forward and get it done. And the activity was amazing. But how did you experience it? Because you were literally in the middle.
Actually, I tackled this exercise from the perspective of the product manager. I have this kind of solution I have in my mind, and this solution, like, it's an actual product. It solves a problem, but my target customers are the people inside the company. So I need to convince them, to listen to them, to validate that this is their problem and my solution will work. And I try to sell it to them. I have my space, and I have said that I have this problem I can solve with this solution. And I can validate from the responses their interest in discussing it with me. And when discussing it, I have caught a lot of new insights from them, new perspectives, points of view. Because if I'm thinking of the solution like a product manager, but they are the actual customers, and their input is the most important input in the process. So it was very interesting. It was like, I don't know. It was very interesting experience for me. And you know what? Based on this, when we have the third day exercise, like how we can, as a management or as a managers, how can we enable, I can defend their points of view because I have interacted closely with them. I knew how can I support them as a manager.
Mm. Well, I'm happy we asked that question, because the extended management team, we gave one assignment going into this whole experience of the 3 days, which was to listen to people, not so you can solve their problem, but listen to people so you can support them solving their problem. And again, we had to throw away our whole plan for the management team on the third day. And what emerged was, and I thought it was beautiful, was the concept of how can the management team, as a cross-functional team in its own, with all the skills that they have on product management, product development, product creation, focus all of those skills and that energy on creating the company as the product of that team, in a way of enabling and supporting the people, so those people can create the products for your customers. And for me, it wasn't perfect, but for me, what I saw was this fundamental shift, at least in the perspective of what it meant to be a management team. That's what I felt. How did you experience that third day? Because it was because also I got Mustafa'd, meaning I got kidnapped by Mustafa, who I absolutely love, that man. And he was going, he brought some of us up to top of this nearby mountain by gondola. And I said, I have to be back by 2 o'clock. We were never going to be back by 2 o'clock. And so I also had to make a decision. I said, okay, let's use this. So we actually had our meeting up there, and I called Masri down at the resort and said, hey, I'm going to stay away for about an hour and 15 minutes, so you guys can do the work on your own. So your mission is to do this work without facilitators. And in a way, I thought that was maybe even better. You know, so your team, that extended management team, could be themselves and work in their natural flow. How did you experience that whole third day? Like, what happened with you on that, in that moment?
Yeah, the third day for me was the real plot twist. I have discovered two things. The first surprising fact that you can remember from a while ago, when I told you that I'm a control freak and I'm believing that you should propagate the change from top down, I discovered myself, caught myself during the third day saying to the extended management, we need to listen to people. We can't impose things on people. And what I'm saying? What? Is this you? Is this really you? No. No way. This is the real transformation for myself. I can relate now to people, not only to my point of view. And the second surprising fact during the third day was, you know, the extended management. To be a manager, you need to be an alpha character. You're a leader. You're influencing people. You have a strong point of view, which you can defend and you can try to impose on others. And this is the second surprise. Those alpha people, alpha type people, found a way to talk to each other and to find a middle ground between all of them and agreed on a plan to support, to work on the brilliant notion of working on the company, not in the company. This statement was very powerful. We should focus to enable the people in the company, not imposing our points of view or our way of thinking on them. That's how this team can feel the sense of ownership. They can defend their work instead of pushing back. This was a real plot twist and a transformational day for myself.
I love hearing that, because Karen and I had already had another plan for that day, which we had invested in, and we had to throw all of that away because we felt that team needed something else. And hearing this gives me a warmth, because okay, I think we made the right decision to sort of kill our darling, which we had, you know, imagined would be the best thing for the team, and instead follow just what we heard the night before. We also made a decision, by the way, we were going to process with the management team on the morning of the Wednesday, the third day, but we decided to do that processing the night before because we felt there was stuff going on that we needed to know, so we could decide if Wednesday was appropriate or not. And I think it was Karen who was like, you know, we really need to do this tonight because something else is happening here and we don't understand it yet. And it was hard for me to make that decision because a lot of people had families in the resort, you know, like, no, I want these people to go, you know, spend time with their families and go have fun. But it was also amazing how everyone showed up completely. So yeah, last question for me, and this is a coaching question for my own growth, I think. One of the biggest things that came back from the people of the company was lack of alignment between roles and teams and departments in the company, which is not weird because every role and team and department has changed in the last 9 months. But we had done a lot of work in the months prior using the simple business design method that I have created with others and champion. And for me, it was and I'm curious what you know, could we have done something else? Meaning, for me, there was a bit of disappointment in myself saying, oh, but we worked so hard on alignment. And the thing, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you know, days and days and days we worked on alignment. As you know, you're involved in that. And and the message from the people was what they seek the most is clarity on alignment and roles, responsibilities, and improved communication around that. I'm curious. Could we have done something different during our alignment work, which could have helped this or not? Like what's your feeling if we connect the alignment workshops, say 3 or 4 months ago, with the feedback of the people, you know, 1 month ago, could we have done better?
I don't think so, because the missing or the gap here is that the Master My Destiny initiative came immediately after the alignment workshops. This is the gap, because the alignment workshops resulted in like a common aligned strategy between all the managers, okay? But agreeing on aligned strategy is something, and propagating this alignment over the teams, it takes time to do this for the teams to live this alignment. I can talk alignment all the day, but living this alignment takes time. So my only recommendation is, if you need to do both, you need to give time between the alignment, the business alignment exercises, and the Master My Destiny initiatives. You need to give time to see the effect of this alignment, business alignment exercises.
It takes time. And filling out a Canvas document and having a meeting and presenting it to people is not enough. It just takes time. It takes time to let it settle. Also, I think it takes time for it to change, because I'm certain the definitions that we came up with during the alignment workshops are wrong. Meaning that, you know, that was at that moment. I mean, it needs to change. It needs to shift. You know, that was 18 people in a workshop that did the best they could, and it was really, really good. And there is still ways for it to improve. And so,
but I have a final statement here to be fair with you. Without this alignment workshops, you couldn't get the management team, the extended management team, agree on this Master My Destiny initiative to give their support to it. If you didn't conduct the alignment workshops, if you couldn't get the extended management team aligned on something, you couldn't get the success you got from the Master My Destiny initiative.
Wow, I had never connected them that closely before. Wow, that's cool. It makes sense when you say it. Thank you so much for seeing that and sharing that. So, wow, cool. You have Tag, the AI product manager and all around brilliant person. Thank you so much. As you know, I've left my formal Destiny career behind. And of course, I wanted to really, you know, the Destiny Engage, the Tactful people are so close to my heart. If any of those people are listening, just, you know, I didn't leave you. I had to choose for me for some other reasons. And I wish all of that team just the very, very best. And if there's any way that I can help moving forward in this chapter of your careers or later chapters of your careers, you all know where I am. So thank you so much. It was the workshops we did in not in Cairo, but in the resort a couple hours outside of Cairo was also a bit of a goodbye and farewell for me. And for me, that was the, and Karen, because she was also leaving Destiny. But to do that in service to the team, service to the people, was for me the absolute best way. It was beautiful in so many levels. And also, you know, a year ago, I had no idea what Egypt was about. I had no idea the richness of the history and the beauty and the diversity of the people and the warmth and the welcoming and the curiosity and the professionalism. I've learned so incredibly much during this journey, and I continue to in moments like this with you, Ihab. So, Destiny Engage, DSTNY Engage, ENGAGE.com. If someone is looking for a collaboration, an omni-channel customer experience and customer engagement solution, which is super cool, meaning you can, you know, use one portal for your web care team to answer your phone calls, you know, your WhatsApp, your all your digital channels. It's amazing stuff. Also AI powered. That's what you have in the team are working on. So then there's a sentiment analysis quality in there coming soon. And there's, you know, agent assist capabilities. This stuff is just really amazing. So you can learn about that at Destiny Engage. And again, it's spelled DST DSTNY, DSTNY.com, and DSTNYEngage.com. There's also the Engage podcast, and I'll put the link to that in the show notes, where Ihab is talking with another AI professional, Matisse André, from the Destiny Group, and that's a lovely conversation. And little plug, Ihab is, you know, pushing the boundaries and discovering more about product management in AI. And you can find him at IhabTag. It's IhabTag.com. And I'll put that in the show notes as well. And what I discovered that you have a podcast coming yourself, although in Arabic, but you're creating things and you're sharing your gift with the world, which is beautiful. So Ihab, thank you so much for the storytelling today. It was beautiful to re-experience that, and maybe inspire some people that are listening to perhaps approach engaging their teams from a slightly different place in the future.
Thank you, Chris, for this great opportunity during the exercises, the initiative of the Master Your Destiny, and for having me with you here in this magnificent podcast. And while I'm sad on the personal level that you're leaving Destiny, but I'm wishing you the best of luck and to succeed as much as you want and can in your next endeavor. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Download the Simplicity Toolkit from ebullience.com to discover the power of the Simplicity Scan and Sprint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player.